A tragic accident changed the course of his life forever. For most, it would have begun a life of discontent and wallowing around in self-misery. For Jonathan Nadeau, it kickstarted a new chapter of inspiration and appreciation. Even though he lost his sight permanently, he gained a passion to put creativity first in all areas of his life. And now, he wants to encourage you to do the same. There are times when you'll be faced with a choice. Be crushed by the weight of the situation, or use the fresh start to rebound bigger, better, and more inspired than ever before. This is Tornado, stories of those who refuse to choose defeat and instead chose to embrace the storm. Here's your host, Jonathan Nadeau.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for joining us. My name is Jonathan Nadeau. I'm your host, and this is Embrace Your Storm. Thank you for joining us. I've got an exciting episode for you as always. Today I'm speaking with Harry, and he submitted a film to the Tornado Film Festival called Enter the Room. So Harry, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Hey, so thanks for coming on. So Harry, before we get into Enter the Room, how did you get involved in kind of film creation as your outlet? Like what brought you down this road?
Yeah, so it goes all the way back to when I was really young. One of my first memories as a kid was watching, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice.
Love that film. Still one of my favorites. The scene, though, that I was so obsessed with as a kid was the opening scene where Harrison Ford is being chased by that boulder.
Absolutely.
I actually used to recreate it at my aunt's place. Just take all these like rubber balls and like run down the stairs and pretend like they were chasing me, like the boulder was chasing him. anyway, though, so yeah, I grew up especially on a lot of blockbusters. A little kid loving Indiana Jones, Star Wars. As I got a little older, the Terminator films, Alien, Aliens. So I always loved watching movies, but I guess that I probably got it from my, I would say my grandpa. He's an awesome guy, paid for my college, one of the most generous people I've ever met. Ooh. Just a much more business-oriented 2+2=4 kind of guy. So I wouldn't say that he never pressured me, but because I was kind of like him, where even though I'm more artistic, like my dad especially, who's an artist, I thought of having a job more the way my grandpa did, who ran his own business. And because of that, he kind of lightly nudged me first, kind of, said maybe I should go into accounting. And then I kind of agreed to go into marketing for business, which is interesting enough in its own right, but not really something I'm passionate about. So anyway, whereas I always loved films, loved watching movies growing up, I just didn't really think it was a realistic career path. So I studied business in college, and while I had a great experience in college, I found myself not paying attention to a lot of my classes. It was a real bore. The last couple of years, I'd even bring my laptop in and just be playing games while the professor, was presenting on their PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. So there were two things that opened my eyes. The first thing was this personal essay class that I took in college. I took it thinking, it was a filler. It's going to be an easy A. I had three friends who took it. I don't think they got terrible grades, but I think they got like B's, C's, and they all did pretty well in college. And they kind of said, no, this class is not a joke. It's not a filler class. Like the teacher, he's real tough. Like you better be prepared. So I got really nervous. I was upset because, I have my business classes, which are tougher, and I'm not excited.
Yeah, exactly. You want kind of an easy class or whatever.
So this ends up becoming my favorite class ever. It basically was just the teacher, right from the first day, I liked him. He was seemed very intelligent, articulate, not judgmental. I could tell that he wasn't going to be an easy grader, but he basically, for our first idea, said, yeah, just write a personal experience you had that really stuck with you. So I had this, not to get too into, but I had this crazy, crazy high school experience where the cops showed up at a friend's party, and basically I was hiding behind a laundry machine with like 30 clothes over me. I won't get too into that, but So that was literally a story I wrote, and I had been caught in previous having some English classes when I was younger. I tend to have a darker mind to write some of these darker stories, and my teachers didn't always appreciate them. So I was a little nervous about it. He absolutely loved this. He was, and all the things my friends warned about me, I just didn't see, but I guess it's because he really liked the story and thought
it
was
good. Yeah.
So right off the bat, I got an A minus on that. And the class was just so much fun. We did three personal essays that we wrote. All of them, I had so much fun writing. And just going to class, whereas my business classes, it'd be a drag and I'd be dreading it. These personal essay classes, we'd go in, we'd read an excerpt, we'd, you know, heavily analyze it. I was actually excited to go to this class. So this was the first time where I kind of questioned, wait a minute, like, am I really, like, could it be like this with all my classes? So I didn't do anything about it, though. So fast forward about a year, and I'm having a lot of fun in college, but kind of in a rough headspace where I just, it keeps not connecting. I'm taking these business classes. They're boring me, thinking, all right, well, maybe I'll get some marketing job. I start having these kind of pipe dreams in my head. Well, maybe I'll get a marketing job for some film production company. And then I transition, but it just, it doesn't really mesh or connect. It doesn't really make sense to me. So anyway, the very early in my second semester of senior year of college, I have this dream, and I remember my dreams all the time. I've had some insane dreams. I still do, but of all the thousands and thousands I've had, this is the one I will always remember. So basically all it was, I just saw a film, The Social Network, one of my favorite films. With my roommate. And I think it was a little influenced by that. It was basically just nothing crazy. I'm going to a prestigious film school. I'm, you know, going to cinematography 101. I'm collaborating with other filmmakers. And in the dream, I was just so happy. And I was so much happier in the dream than I was in real life. And what was so weird was how real the dream felt. And it felt so real that when I woke up, I actually popped out of my bed thinking the dream was real, that I was going to a film class. And I run to my bedroom door and I grab my backpack and my jacket, and I suddenly stop and I realize, wait a minute, it's Saturday, it's noon, you were at a bar with friends last night, you're not in film school, you're not going to be a filmmaker, you know, you're studying business, and I guess you're going to graduate college soon, get a business job you don't really care about, and that will be it. So that was the single, probably the most deflating moment of my life.
Yeah, no kidding.
I sat on my bed, I stared at my wall, and I must have stared at my wall for like 20 minutes. And suddenly a light bulb pops out of my head, and I realize, well, yeah, it sucks that, you know, you realize what you wanted to major in as you're graduating college, but, you know, you're 21, your life's not over. Your life's not written in stone. So
yeah, exactly.
Came up with this plan. I figured I'm going to graduate college, I'm going to find a decent paying job in business while I slowly pursue film. So I started working in insurance, which I did not like, but I saved up a decent amount of money doing that for 5 years, first in Manhattan. And then I came out to Chicago. So while I was doing that, I was just, during the day I was doing the insurance job, and at night I was just, in the beginning, reading a lot. I took out this book on screenwriting from the library. Watching a ton of YouTube tutorials on cinematography, editing, creating character, storytelling. And all while I was doing that, I read a couple quotes from, it was from Steven Spielberg and James Cameron. And they basically said, like, yeah, it's great to study and like look up theory and understand the way things work. But they're like, but if you really want to get better, you need to just go out there. And they had both mentioned buying a camera and just shooting stuff. So I did that. And that's where I shot my first film, 515, which I mentioned earlier. And what was so cool about making that film was that with so many things in my life, I would envision it going one way and it would usually go worse. And with that film, I felt like it went as good, even better in some areas.
That's good.
Particularly when I got to editing, which this really shocked me because I always thought I was going to love shooting. I don't hate shooting, but it is not one of my favorite parts of filmmaking. Editing is actually my favorite, with writing being a close second. I thought I would hate editing, but when I started cutting the thing together, especially when I put in the music, that was the most fun I had had maybe in my entire life.
That's cool.
So yeah, anyway, so I made that film, and while I was doing that, I started going to networking events, got on this decently big indie film, or at least for me, like 50-ish people. That's a lot.
Yeah, totally.
I met this guy, Eugene Park, pretty well-known filmmaker in Chicago. He's made a ton of films. He was making this film Self-Deportation, so he brought me on as a production assistant. And
that's cool.
It was just super cool being on a film set, seeing how everything worked.
Yeah.
But where I really got, where this really helped for me taking this role was that I met this guy, Lance Elliott Adams. He was a producer on set, and I had a car, so I was picking up a lot of supplies and getting lunch for the cast and crew. So I spent probably 75% of my time on set with him.
Okay.
So we really kind of hit it off, and he started bringing me on his films first as a PA. Then I did some assistant camera and lighting work. So while I was doing this, I came up with this idea for Enter the Room, and I'd written the script and I was very happy with it. But, you know, 5:15, I made on my own. And this one, I wanted to have an actual cast and crew. So what was tough for me was, you know, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to put that all together.
Mm.
So it was kind of just sitting on the shelf for a while. Fortunately, one day, Lance, you know, on one of his friend's films that I was helping out as a PA on, he kind of asked me what was going on with me. So I told him about Enter the Room. I sent it to him. I just figured I've sent my stuff to people before, not heard back.
Yeah, yeah.
But a week later, he got back to me and he said, "Hey, like this, I really like the script. I really like the voices of the characters, especially the neurotic one. I think this could be a really awesome idea." And he's like, "How would you like, you know, if I jumped on as producer and cinematographer?" And I immediately was like, "Yes, like this is the break I've been waiting for." So basically, he kind of showed me the ropes. He showed me how to get an assistant director, how to post casting notices, which casting websites to use, scheduling auditions for the theater, casting the right characters for their actors for their respective roles, all the way to holding rehearsals, getting a gaffer for lighting, sound person, all the way up to scheduling shoot days. And everything went pretty smoothly. I mean, there were some hiccups, as there always are, but
yeah,
it was so important seeing him do that, because that I realized, oh, like I can do this. I didn't realize I could start up a film on my own like this. So I basically took what I learned from him, and I've done it. I did it for my next two short films, In the Backseat and Bay for Blood, and then for my feature film, The Corridor Crossing, which I shot last summer. And things have been going well from there. And that's kind of just my backstory on how I got started in film.
That's pretty awesome. I love you were kind of pointing out one thing that a few other guests have pointed out too, is like being on set is a great place to learn a whole lot, and asking questions and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool that was kind of part of your path. Like, so you mentioned Enter the Room. So like, why don't you tell the audience kind of like what's the kind of like the plot behind that story? What kind of gave you the idea for it? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, of course. And just to give a little backstory, I know we mentioned a little earlier, but this idea came from a roommate I had in college. He was a little uptight, to put it lightly. I think he grew up as an only child, and he was not used to having, you know, being in close quarters with someone else. So I think that he didn't like that. And every little thing I did just kind of triggered him. He was accusing me of doing a lot of things I didn't. That's where the idea originally came from. And in the film, I'd say 90% of the things that Brian is getting on his brother Jeremy's case about, he did call me out on. And there were actually a ton more things that were in the original script, but that I ended up cutting out because the movie would have been like 40 minutes if I didn't cut that stuff out. I liked the idea. I thought there was a lot of tension. The characters were funny, but I didn't think that was quite enough. So I figured, you know what? Let's make them brothers. Let's give them this kind of traumatic backstory to sort of shape who they were. I think that could really round out this film more successfully. And that's basically, you know, there's an
kind of getting... Can you give the Baxter, the brothers, or will that give anything away?
I won't give away the twist, but to get a little more into the story, it's basically about two brothers. One's name is Brian. He's the neurotic, uptight one. One's name is Jeremy. He's a lot more laid back. He's a little bit of a slob. They couldn't be more different. And basically just Brian... Jeremy moves out to the city because he's an actor and he recently landed a gig in Chicago. So they agree that he can stay at Brian's place for a couple weeks. And basically just their differing lifestyles really trigger Brian.
That's pretty funny.
So Brian is just getting on Jeremy's case time after time after time. And Jeremy is a pretty laid back guy. So he takes it well at first, but it slowly irritates him more and more until there's basically this big explosion at the end. And then you do at the end of the film. I don't want to give it away, but you kind of find out what happened between these two characters.
Oh, okay.
You understand a little more why they are acting the way they are towards each other.
That's pretty cool. What gave you the idea to? You said like your roommate and stuff, but do are there any kind of like producers or directors that you would like lean towards their style, would you say?
Yeah, there were no. So for the actual idea, I didn't even realize this at the time. It had to have come from this film, though. I thought about it after older film classic, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Okay, yeah.
I actually think the way the characters interact in the story, they're not to say, I mean, that film's a masterpiece. So this very light version of that, but I would say the films are pretty similar in that respect. Narratively and character wise, that's probably the closest film to Enter the Room. From a stylistic perspective, yeah, I'd say a number of directors. I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan, especially his earlier work. Memento is my favorite film of all time. I would say sort of the twisty nature that sort of how the film unfolds at the end, there definitely were some influences from him. The character Brian, even though he was based on my roommate, the way he talked and his mannerisms, I actually was going a little off of Jesse Eisenberg and The Social Network. Other filmmakers, though, that had a light influence, influence on this, David Lynch is one that I get a lot of comparisons for. I'd say David Fincher, Danny Boyle, Alfonso Cuarón, and a few others.
Man. You also mentioned you did a feature film. So how is that compared to doing a short film?
It is crazy. It's in color correction right now, and I'm actually running into a little hiccup with some of the clips not exporting color. Anyway, though, that will hopefully be finished in the near future. Everything about it is just so much bigger. Like,
yeah.
When I was posting about it, I was getting way more feed, mostly positive, some negative too, way more attention. People just seem way more excited about it. It is definitely more expensive. It definitely takes way longer,
yeah.
but it's also been so much more satisfying. I'm really happy with Enter the Room, and I have another short film, Bay for Blood, which is I'm hoping to have done in the next month.
Okay.
And I love those films, but my love for this film is kind of on a different level. I just think the fact that it's a full-length feature, two-hour film, it was the first, it's called The Corridor Crossing. It's the first idea I ever had for a film, but of course I didn't want to make my first film my feature film. That would have been insane.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, no, I hear that.
But so it's just everything's bigger, good and bad, but mostly good. I am so happy I did it. But I would say to any filmmaker who has only made shorts, when you're making your first feature, I was actually telling somebody this. He made a couple shorts. He had one of his short films won a couple awards at the ceremony last night, which was cool. I told him, you know, because I'm going from 15-minute films. Bay for Blood's 18 minutes. To a two-hour film, so you would think, oh well, so it's like, you know, 6-8 times as much work. And I tell people, well, it feels like it's 100 times as much work. I would say that's my main piece of advice. Really be prepared to be like, you're going to be breathing this thing 24/7 for like a year, maybe 2 years. So it's amazing. It's been so satisfying, but just be prepared for how much work it is.
Going back to End of the Room, where did the title come from?
So it's interesting because that one, I would say since Bay for Blood, I have really spent a lot of time. I'll do a lot of thesaurus, like synonym lookups. I'll usually take a few words or phrases I like and then plug it in and see what I can find. With Enter the Room, it just kind of came right away. It just sounded, I like the sound of it. I like the whole film takes place in the apartment, and I guess just the implication of kind of everything's going down here. So that wasn't one. I spent very little time coming up with that one. And
it's
when
that happens.
Yeah, I was a little nervous that maybe it wouldn't work, but generally I've received positive responses regarding the title. Whereas a lot of my ideas since, I've had to put a lot more thought into
So I mean you already kind of gave some advice a few minutes ago, but another question I like to ask everyone that comes on is like, what advice would you give to any other up-and-comers that you know in the film industry, like writing or directing or producing? Like, what kind of advice would you give someone?
Yeah, I have a few. I'm glad you asked this, because I've had a few interviews where this has been asked, and I definitely think this is important for aspiring and new filmmakers. I'd say number one, and I would never try to discourage anyone from doing this, but is you just need to have realistic expectations. And I think number one is, if you don't love doing this, not saying you can't, but my advice would be do it minimally or don't do it, because the amount of work and money, even if I'm good at cutting costs, but it's still expensive. Even my low budget films, it adds up. And it would add up even more if I didn't edit professionally. I save a lot because I can edit all my stuff. But anyway, do it because you love it. And while you want people to love your film, and you know, yeah, you want to get recognition, and of course it'd be nice to actually make money from a film, those things should not be requirements for you to feel like this was a success. It should really come from the self-satisfaction you get from going through the process and seeing the final product. I think that if that is enough for you and you really love doing it, you should be happy doing it. But if it's not, and it's okay if it's not, I've tried doing plenty of things before filmmaking, and I stopped, not completely, but stopped focusing on them as much because I realized I was too focused on the end game and I wasn't really passionate about them. One was basketball. I was obsessed with basketball. I just was bad. I played my whole childhood, and I don't even think I loved it that much. I just wanted to be good. I'm kind of a smaller guy, but I'm a little older now. When I was young, I was very shifty and fast. I didn't understand the game well, and I was not tough enough. I wasn't good enough at defense. I could not slash well. All I could really do was maybe hit an open shot. But anyway, so I kind of figured, well, you can do it casually, but don't put. So anyway, my advice, yeah, is if you're a filmmaker and you're kind of on the fence, you don't have to quit, but just don't put everything into this, because it's an industry where you're putting so much time and blood and sweat and tears.
Yeah, you really are.
And you're rarely going to receive not only financially, but even the recognition for what.
Exactly. No, for real.
There's so much content out there. That would be my number one piece of advice. I would also say number two for me would be that's a copy of the Nike slogan, just do it.
Yeah. I say that a lot too.
Yeah. But just to get a little more into that, because it sounds so obvious, but it's, what's happened to me so many times, and while I like to think that once I get into a rhythm, I really go, but like a lot of other people, if I've never done something, I get kind of stuck in the mud. I get nervous. It happened with the feature film. It happened with the script with Enter the Room. It happened the first time I had to shoot outside. It's happened with all these new situations where it happened with film festivals too. I put that off for a while. Me being afraid of failing, of being rejected. And I've come to accept the fact that when you've never tried something, no matter how good you are, no matter how hard you work at it, no matter how prepared you think you are, expect the unexpected. Every project I've ever worked on, something always goes wrong, and you will make mistakes, but you just need to kind of move on. Making mistakes can be great because you can learn from them. My second film, In the Backseat, which I love and I still think it's a solid film, I made some mistakes with that film, but that I think is maybe the most important film I've ever made, because I think it really helped for me preparing for Bay for Blood and The Corridor Crossing. So I think it's one of those, don't overthink it, just go, things will go wrong. But if if you're persistent and you work really hard and you plan properly, you will get through and you will become smarter and stronger because of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. And those two things really do tie together where, you know, you'd have to take action and it's not for the faint of heart, you know, like you were saying, like, so, you know, just do it and keep your nose to the grindstone kind of thing. And like you said, things might come up, but there's more than one way around the barn to fix problems. And I was saying in another interview that so much happens in the film industry where like you write a script and the writer puts so much trust and faith in all these other things in order to happen for the film to actually even get made, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But Harry, thanks for coming on so much. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about Enter the Room or anything else I didn't cover?
Nothing too specific. Just I hope, you know, to everyone watching this, please, you know, feel free to, the film will, it's still going to festivals, but it will, you know, it'll be in a lot of, it should be playing in a handful of more festivals, being, you know, online screenings here and there. I post on all my social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram.
You want to give out your handles and stuff?
Oh, of course. My name is Harry Waldman. I'm at Edgewater Film Productions. If you Google Harry Waldman or Edgewater Film Productions, all my information
stuff comes up. Okay.
But yeah, just Harry Waldman. My Instagram name is HWaldman18. But yeah, the film will eventually be streaming online. While it's nice to make money, I'm more concerned with getting as many eyeballs on this as possible. So I want, if you're watching this, you know, I want you to see this film. And yeah, just, you know, please continue. You know, if you like Enter the Room, if you like any of my other stuff, please continue to support me, follow me. I plan on, you know, getting my short films Enter the Room, In the Backseat, and Bay for Blood. Once they're done with festivals, I want to get those to the public online, and then the Corridor Crossing will follow.
Awesome. Thanks again, Harry, so much for your submission to the Tornado Film Festival. And everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And don't forget to embrace your storm. See ya.
Tornado with Jonathan Nadeau. If you haven't yet, please subscribe now so you're first to hear new episodes with more stories of inspiration about the highs and lows of life and how embracing the storm is so much more fulfilling of a life than being crushed by the weight of the world. And until then, we hope you're inspired to do something, whether it's creating, participating, or learning, whatever leads you to your personal passion.